That goes. My name is Julian Valdivia. I'm with the Samuel Proctor Oral History Program, and I'm here in Fort Myers, Florida, at the Lee County Black History Society in Roberto Clemente Park. And today I'm sitting with...
Hubert Tony.
Betty Tony.
All right. And the Tonys, to my understanding, are very popular here in the city of Fort Myers.
That's really cool. Well, they can't be popular.
All right. Well, I just want to ask you guys some basic information first, just about growing up here. I know Mr. Tony, you already said that you came here in 56,
uh-huh.
But I'd love to ask your lovely wife about how she grew up first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, here in Fort Myers.
Okay, here in Fort Myers.
My birthplace was 25 Lime Street,
okay.
Fort Myers, Florida.
Okay.
I went to school at the Dunbar High School. I'm a graduate of Dunbar High School.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Tony, where did you grow up originally?
Okay, I grew up in Cusper, Georgia, which you call Randolph County.
Okay.
Out from Albany, west of Albany.
Okay.
So they're called Cusper, Georgia.
Cusper. Okay, I think I know that, because Albany is kind of like in the southwestern corner, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's right, yeah.
Yep.
So that's where I grew up in, went to school there till the seventh grade. And then when I came down here, I went back to Dunbar and finished Dunbar, got my diploma at Dunbar. I went out to Edison and ended up with about, I'm in a credit union. The unit. I think it was 22.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 22. It was Edison Junior College at that time.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so, how old were you then? I know you said because you came here to finish up your schooling.
I was 18. I had turned 18 in September.
Okay.
And I came down here in October.
Okay.
At, 56.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. So you came here much later on once you were pretty much grown then.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right. So then I want to ask you, Betty, I want to ask about, I got that right, Betty?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. I'm making sure the names, Hubert and Betty.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So then, if I could ask then, what was it like growing up in Fort Myers under segregation then?
It was very odd. We could never get new books, new material. We always got stuff from Fort Myers High or elementary, whatever. And everything was just secondhand and handed down. I can remember going to a typing class, and we would race to get to that one typewriter that would work. Other than that, you know, books secondhand. Everything was secondhand.
Mm-hmm.
But the teachers was very good. They knew at what we needed, and we just learned despite of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In your typing class, then they only had like one typewriter that worked?
One typewriter.
Huh. Out of like how many? Was there just like a row of them? Because I've never done a typing class before.
Yeah, they had about four or five typewriters in there, but you only had one working.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then, growing up then, at least like in the school system, were any of you ever, like, did any of you actively like want to see like integration? Like you wanted to have access to like the materials maybe? And like Fort Myers High School and things like that?
No.
No?
No. The teachers was very good. They made sure you learn. I'm telling you, those teachers was very strict. You just didn't do any and everything you wanted. Mr. Barker, Edgar Leo Barker was the principal. I'm trying to think of the assistant principal. He died.
I can't remember.
Yeah, we well know.
Mr. Salt.
Yeah, Mr. Salt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Mr. Salt was the assistant principal. They were very strict.
And when you say that like they were very good and stuff like that, what made them very good?
They made sure the student came to school on time.
Mm.
They would stand on the corner of Blunt and High. And Mr. Salters always had a strap roll in his pocket. And he was standing there and says, you can hide, but you got to come by me. So why are you not on time this morning? They wanted to make sure you on time, make sure you were clean, make sure you had lunch monies and stuff, you know, to take care of yourself for the day. Very thoughtful. And if you didn't come to school, they were at your house that afternoon to make sure why she didn't come to school or why he didn't come to school. I had a brother that played hooky a lot, and they would always come for him. Yeah.
So were, like, the teachers and the principals then, were they, like, really in touch with, like, the community and the families?
Yes. Yes.
So I want to know, because I want to get a sense, because I know, like, Fort Myers, like, population didn't, like, explode until much later. Was there, like, a sense that, like, everyone knew each other?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody knew. Everything happened around Dunbar, their own high street. Any activities, plays, shows, parades, everything started there on high street. So everybody knew everybody.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to ask, too, when you were growing up as well, like, what was... like, what was it like? Like, what were the houses like around here?
We lived across the street in a three-bedroom house.
Okay.
Yeah, with just three rooms.
It was like army barracks, like, wasn't it?
No.
It was a
long row of houses. Yeah. And there were about four of them together there in front of the school, and each one had three rooms. Mm. So other than that, we got along pretty
good. Very close.
Yeah.
Together.
Yep, and the neighborhood was so, if you did wrong, you get your butt spanked before you go home, and then you get spanked after you get home. So they pretty well kept us in line.
Do you remember who the community police officers were?
Snag Thomas was the sheriff. Daddy Sanders was one of the
policemen at that time.
Policeman. Bull Smith.
Came in later.
That Bull Smith, that's a nickname.
Ernest Smith.
Yeah.
And I think Bull Smith, because I think Bull was his nickname.
Nickname, yes. Yeah. Yes.
I know him well.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
How so?
Well, he was in our lodge.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was in our lodge, and he was a pretty good guy. He just was pretty strict. Daddy Sanders was also. He was straight also.
So you guys had a lodge then, I'm assuming, because you said he was at your lodge?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah.
Dunbar Lodge number 15. It had been in progress ever since 2 years before I came here, I think. About 2 years. And they've been going ever since.
Okay. So then if I could ask them, like, how did you both meet?
At the swimming pool.
At the swimming pool. And what happened at the swimming pool?
I have a younger sister that was under me, and they was chasing him around the pool.
Okay.
So he saw me walking around the pool, and Helen says, oh my God, there's Betty, and he's looking at her. We don't have a chance. So I met him there at the swimming pool.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, I mean, things just went from there?
Yep. Yes. Went from there.
And so, when did you guys get married?
In 58.
Okay. And did you get married at one of the churches around here?
No.
Okay.
Downtown in the courthouse.
Oh, okay.
Yes, uh-huh.
Actually, I have a question then, because if you had to go downtown to... I know, like, downtown, they had, like, the segregation orders where, like, if you went downtown, then you had to have, like, business. Did you have to have business to go and, like, get your marriage license then?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
How strict was that then? Like, I guess the segregation orders with downtown?
It wasn't very strict. You know what's really strange? The downtown, McCrory's department store and all those other stores that was downtown.
Yeah.
You went where you wanted to, you ate at the counters and all of that stuff. But as soon as they start segregation, they got real ugly. You know, they didn't want you in the store, you know, and you eat over here and eat over there. So people just got to the place, they just wouldn't eat there at all.
Bathroom, yeah. different bathrooms and whatnot.
Water fountains, white black water fountain, white black restroom.
Yeah.
But there were still a lot of people then going downtown.
Going downtown.
And getting marriage licenses.
That was a big...
More in the daytime, it was okay, but after a certain time of night, they wanted you back across the railroad track. They don't want you downtown. I went to be examined in Miami with about 35 of us. And we was coming, we went on the bus. The bus station was right there at, near, it was on Monroe Street. And we got off the bus and started walking home, and there was some had to go to Immokalee. It was 35 of us, and we was walking along, and the police pulled up beside us. I was walking a little in front of them. He pulled out, and he asked us where we been, and we told him. He said, well, how many of y'all stood? You know, we didn't know. But anyway, we didn't know, and so I ought to put you in jail for going down there playing dumb. And I said, whoo, just like that. And I was walking, I'll say, 20 feet in head of the, me and Henry, what his name was, last name was Henry. But anyway, we was walking in head of the crowd a little. And so they walked, they pulled on up there and shined the light, and I just kept walking. But if you been caught downtown at that time, there were a lot of questions.
Okay.
Why you down there, what you doing and whatnot, but they didn't bother us. They just harassing.
Yeah. We even go downtown to the McCrory stores. You know, when you're taking a sewing class and activities like that, you have to go to McCrory's to get this stuff. And the high school was where the building is. What's that building? At the corner of Fowler. At the corner of Fowler and... The big tall building. I think they changed the name to...
That's the City Hall now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think that's the City Hall, everything, jailhouse and all of that.
No, not that far down.
Not that
it's at the corner of Fowler there, across the street from the newspaper.
Yeah, where you get your driver license now.
High school there, and those children would go out to lunch, and if they catch you walking down the road, they would throw fruit at you and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah, but see, they didn't know that I was a tomboy. So when they threw a grapefruit at me, I wheeled one right back at him and hit him side the head. They had to speed off real fast.
Yeah.
But other than that, they just do things to aggravate you.
Yeah.
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 Do you think, how ingrained was segregation then? Because, to my understanding, there were people that, threw food at you guys, but then there were also, it depended on the person. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any, white neighbors or, friends or anything like that when you had your business and were coming up?
No.
Yeah, no more Miss Browning.
Yeah. She worked
at a lady.
I was working at that time. I was working for Ella Blunt, a company named Ella Blunt.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked there for so long, and then I went to Jerome Lumber, Cement Industry, and where I'm at now.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been there for 50-something years now, 51, going on 51 years.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was there a lot or any, communication, between the railroad tracks and stuff like that?
No.
No?
What you mean, coming to visit?
No, people making friends and, talking with each other and stuff like that. Or was that just not?
That was just not.
Yeah, okay.
No, that was just not. Maybe about 58, 59, then it got a little bit better.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah. Well, better in 58, 59?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It seemed like it got a little bit better. I went to school at Dunbarwell down on Ford Street. at night school. I went to night school then after I came down here to get my diploma.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't no whites, you know, at
yeah.
that time. Wasn't no, they hadn't segregated at that time.
No.
When the segregation started, at that time they started with the elementary school. My son went to
Edison Park.
Edison Park.
Mm.
And they start integrating the elementary school. I know about five or six of them went out there. And they never had any problem there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the high school, I think they did have, after a few years, they
had a lot of problems.
A lot of problems with those teenagers and
yes.
whatnot. So
yeah.
you're going to have a problem when you run into those anyway.
Mm. Well, what kind of problems were there, like, specifically? Because I know now it was around, like, 71 when they finally integrated the high schools, right? With the Blaylock case, I think?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes, uh-huh.
What were the problems that came up then for people that went to integrated schools?
They were fighting, pushing.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. especially at Fort Myers High.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was, I know about five of them went out there and yeah. it was fighting every evening just about.
Yep. Usually when they integrated, there was only about four or five that would go to the school, and they would double team them, and they had to fight their way in and fight their way out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a lot of disappointment in the community when they, well, not when they integrated school, but when they closed Dunbar High School? Because I know they closed, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. To me, it tore up the community because that's where everybody met.
Mm.
So now you got people in Cape Coral and South Fort Myers, East Fort Myers, North Fort Myers. They're scattered everywhere.
Yeah.
And when they ask you about different ones that are living here, then you got to say, but no, I don't know where they live. And then they look at you, you've been living here a long time. I go, yeah, but I don't know where they are. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, when they closed Dunbar High School, do you know why they closed it? Was it just because...
For integration.
Integration.
Mm-hmm. No, but, like, what I mean is, like, because, like, I'm trying to, like, understand, like if they have, like, a perfectly fine school, like, why... Was it just because it was the black school, or... Mm-hmm. Okay.
Especially when it come down to football.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I think they, after they separated, I think they got along fine, but they wanted those black kids to play football with them because they was good,
mm.
especially in this area here. And I don't know whether they got along pretty good then when they started playing football together and whatnot. I imagine it was a little struggle or something, but they seem like they got along pretty good. It got better as the years went by.
Yeah.
When they integrated, the next after elementary, they got the teachers.
Mm.
You know, they took a lot of black teachers from the school and put them to the white school.
Okay.
And we're saying, why are you doing that? You know, then they'll send the white teachers over. But you know, they act like they were scared of the children.
Mm.
You know. All they would say, oh, they're so cute. I don't want them to be cute. I want them to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'd, come on, teach them something, you know. Well, what were they learning, you know, before? I go, you need to go ask the teacher.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
And those teachers, I think, were very strict with those kids. And you learn under mm-hmm. those teachers, too.
Mm.
Yeah. Like they talk back now, they wouldn't dare do it then.
Yeah. It contrasts a lot from, like you were saying, with your
sure.
principals.
Yeah. And the parents was, you know, much lenient to the kids. And if something happened, the parents are out to the school trying to find out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But here lately, they're
so mouthy with the teachers and everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you had some whites, I know... My son had a problem. He was good in music.
Mm.
And so when it come down to the best student that could do it, the students say yes, Tony was the best one, but they wouldn't let him do it. Mm-hmm. Especially when that Edison Parade. Yeah. They wouldn't let him do it. And so I told him, I said, you're living in a place, integration, and it's trying to, doing better. I said, but you got to learn how to, shake it off and move on, yeah. Which he did. Mm. He shook it off and he got his PhD now in music.
Mm.
Yeah.
Is that what he teaches? Is this the one that teaches in Tampa?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, music. Yeah. So now he's trying to get his own business and, spreading music to the different schools and stuff.
Mm.
But before, when they wouldn't let him be the drum major, that's what they were doing, competing for a drum major. And what's the name? Mr. Gandy.
Gandy, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Gandy said no.
Mm.
And he said, that's all right. He says, Mom, you know what I'm going to do? I said, well, he says, I'm going to college and I'm come back and I'm going to get his job. But you know what? He died before he Oh my goodness, he died. He said, well, that's all right. I came close. Oh, goodness.
So then, I want to ask just a question about, Dunbar High School then when you guys went. Were the arts a really big thing?
Yeah.
Because I know football was huge, I've never read anything about the arts.
I know. They sort of stopped doing that. You had home economics. You had shop.
Mm.
You had music, and all the kids was pretty good in it. I went to shop, and I learned how to use the drill and stuff like that. But these kids coming up now, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
You got the hammer and nail, and well, what are you doing? I'm going, oh, goodness. So they really do need to put that back in there so they can learn. I learned how to sew in high school, in class, home economics. In fact, I got a sewing business, I don't sew so much now anymore. After Jocelyn got sick, I just got a room full of fabrics.
Mm.
But other than that, they're not learning anything.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So then I want to kind of, I do want to ask you with before I move off education, because I don't want to back and forth.
Well, that's okay.
I wanted to ask, did you guys were you ever personally involved, or did you know anyone involved with the Blaylock case and things like that?
Ed?
Yeah, Reverend Ed was a...
They went to our church.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, Friendship Baptist Church.
He was the NAACP leader at that time.
Yep.
Yep.
And it was pretty rough then. I remember they had a drive-in theater out here on Anderson Avenue then.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want the blacks to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And so he got a bunch of the teenagers went out there and blocked it to the street.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, blocked the entrance of it. And so they closed it down, and they moved on.
they closed the theater?
Oh, yes.
Yes, they closed that.
Okay.
They closed it.
He did quite a bit of work, especially when it come down to the integration and whatnot.
Mm.
He was out there when a kid had problems at school. He would try to go out there and find out what was the problem and whatnot.
Mm.
He was very active. During that time.
In fact, it was our church that's integrated Fort Myers Beach.
Mm.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We all got in buses and cars and stuff. What was really strange, you sitting in the car, and when those kids head for the water, you see the white people do this. They left the water and said, well, that's okay. We're here to swim. I go, oh, my goodness, talking about dividing the water.
Yeah.
They left.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Yeah.
Now, talking about the beaches and stuff like that, you were around then when Bunch Beach was open.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, were you guys Like, whatever happened to Lunch Beach after that? Did you guys still, like, visit? Was it, like...
We visited, but somebody bought it. All you have there now is trailer homes.
Yeah.
Trailer park. It's a trailer park now.
I was going to say, because to my understanding, it's not, like, really, like, kept anymore. It's, like, it's more like... I know I looked up, like, a picture, and they just got, like, the marker on it or whatever from the state.
Right.
That was a... It was just a, it seemed like an offset from the water.
Yeah.
Fort Myers Beach.
From Fort Myers Beach, and it seemed like the water wasn't that clear.
Mm-hmm.
Muddy and whatnot, but they enjoyed it.
Yep.
During that time.
Mm-hmm.
That's, so they just, let me get my thoughts together. So, like, when they, like, commissioned Bunch Beach and stuff like that, so, like, it was, they had never done anything with it. They just, like, taken a side of Fort Myers. Okay.
Somebody bought it, and they built mobile homes and stuff, but then they started going to Bunch Beach and Fort Myers Beach and Bonita Beach.
Bonita Beach.
Bonita Beach.
Oh, okay.
They just scattered all over there. Yeah.
All right. I understand now. I always wondered because I've heard about Bunch Beach and I'm like, well, why is it dead now? And then now it makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
They just got like the little, the worst piece of land.
Right.
It's the black side.
That's what happened.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's where they used to go all the time when I first came here.
Mm.
But they start scattering, and where they see water, if it wasn't private property, it was out there. Yeah.
All right. Okay, that makes a lot more sense to me now.
No,
I was wondering that. I legitimately was like, well, why is Bunch Beach dead now? I'm like,
because
they got Butler Beach up in St. Augustine, I think, which was another one of the black beaches, which is like huge. And I was like, well, why is that one open, but not this? Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm going off on a tangent.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right.
So then I want to go back to talking about Reverend Edwards then, because I understand you were a deacon, correct? Or you still are a deacon.
Yeah, still is.
Mm-hmm. What was the role of, like, Friendship Baptist then in integration? Or, can you just tell me about Friendship Baptist, first of all? Because I was going to ask integration, NAACP, but what was Friendship Baptist?
They took the, since Reverend Edward was the president, they took the role of leadership in the black community. And any problems come up, well, especially if it's integration, that's what they did. They come to him, and I remember they did a march once. I had to work. Usually when they do the march, I'm working. But they did one march. The last march it was going to march. And Snag came and picked up Reverend Edwards, and they left. And when he came back, he called it off.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was wondering why he called it off. But Reverend Edwards said, no, I didn't want nobody to get hurt because there was a lot of whites lined it up to try to do something to him.
Yep, they had guns drawn.
They
was waiting on him.
Yeah, they was waiting on him. So he called that one off because he didn't want nobody to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they were looking for him. Friendship was the leading church in integration at that time.
Okay.
One incident happened when they first started. What was that name of that restaurant they went to? After church, they went to a restaurant downtown. Restaurant.
Was this the Snack House?
Yes.
Snack House.
The Snack House.
Snack
exactly.
House. My sister was in that.
Yeah.
And they went and sit down and was ordering food and white guy came up there with hot sauce and ketchup
and shook it all over him.
Then that's when Reverend Ever got into it. He was trying to find out who did it and whatnot, but they wouldn't tell him. No, they wouldn't tell him. But it started, and then they started. I remember me and my wife went out to, during that time, we went out to McDonald's. And I went to the door, and she was sitting in the car. And I asked him, could I get a couple of burgers? And she said, would you go around to the back window? I said, I didn't ask for a back window. I asked for a hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
And I left and went on to my car, and we left and went on. But they wanted you to go around to a little window. They poke a hamburger at you
mm-hmm.
at that time. Same one there now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, I heard about the same story from Ida Golden. I interviewed her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Ida.
She was in that. Mm-hmm. She was in that. Yeah.
She was one of those they poked ketchup on. Did she say that?
No. Well, she didn't remember a lot. She was trying to get the details
together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she told me about the hot sauce and the stuff. I heard from then that they had the owner made a written apology or something like that to Reverend Edwards?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so, yeah. He did, send an apology to the church and whatnot, so.
Do you was that out of the kindness of his heart, or was it public pressure?
I think it was public pressure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because he didn't want him to come down there with a big group and really tear up the place. Because he would give him a group and he said, we're going downtown.
Were there other sit-ins that you can remember?
Snack house, the beach.
Yeah, the snack house, the beach, and whatever.
They were the prime places to go to.
Okay.
Because everybody went to the snack house to eat with the buses and downtown workers and stuff. And on the weekend, just at the Fort Myles Beach. So those was the prime places. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I thank you guys for all this, because it gives me a better picture of everything.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, I thought of another question regarding education. So I'm jumping back to that.
Okay. That's okay.
So I heard that when this is from when I was talking with Coot Farrell. He was actually the first interview, or no, first or second interview that I did down here. And he told me that once they had integrated the high schools and stuff like that, they had a disturbance or a riot. At one of the high schools.
Yeah,
do you guys remember anything about that?
Yeah. Our family was in it.
Oh, okay.
Our nephew, LaRue Johnson, and my cousin, Willie Floyd.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of the other
Shackelford, the one they called Shackelford. Yeah.
Yeah, Shackelford. Mm. You know, we knew those three,
yeah.
That was a ruckus.
Yeah. Okay.
That we had to help straighten out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what details did they tell you about it?
They said one pushed the other one.
Yeah, it started, I think, after they got out of school and started home.
Mm.
And then that's when I think it started before then.
Yeah, during the day. Then when you start home, you walk in home, which wasn't far.
Yeah.
You know, they would follow them home and harass them and stuff like that. And they were daredevils.
Yeah.
Hey, you don't handle me like that.
Yeah.
The other than that,
Willie Floyd was pretty stout and whatnot. He broke a kid's jaw, right?
Yep.
Something like that.
Yep. Yeah. And LaRue bruised up some pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Shackelford got some. He bruised them up pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. They wanted to put them out, but we said they followed them home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do anything to them at school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What was my next? It just left my mind. I'm trying to get it together. Oh, yes, that's right. So around the same time in, again, I think this is in 1971. This is when at least to my understanding, when all the integration stuff was going on. I remember I read an article in the news press about it, because they had put in a curfew on Dunbar. And then this is another story that Coot Farrell had told me. So there's an interracial couple where I think the man was white and the woman was black, and the woman had gotten killed,
mm-hmm.
and that there was some kind of well, that people literally crossed the tracks into Dunbar and started burning like houses and stuff like that. Was that?
Yeah, but it's in 71.
It might not be, it was early 70s or late 60s.
Yeah.
They did that. I remember they did the, of course, that they sit that Coca-Cola place afire.
Yeah.
What else they did? Something else they did.
The old,
I know it was the old Coca-Cola place right on the corner, Edison and Colonia.
The bottling plant that they used to have.
Yeah.
Okay.
So CVS is now.
Yeah.
They sit at a place? Okay.
Yeah. That one they, it was two or three, I think, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, they sit a fire and whatnot, so.
Yeah, whenever they start a fire, they would say they didn't know the cause of it, but they knew the cause of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So then, those were the little blurbs that I want to ask about. The last thing I want to talk about is like healthcare, like here, because to my understanding, Lee Health is now like the biggest employer in Southwest Florida now.
Yeah.
I learned about Jones Walker Hospital.
They never say anything about Jones Walker Hospital.
No.
Not one thing.
Yeah. And the funny thing is I knew about the Jones Walker apartments. Like, I know where like the apartment complex is.
Yeah.
I didn't know where that it got its name from that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's how. That was back on Blount and Lilly.
Mm.
We lived in front of the school on High Street.
Mm.
So you had a nice hospital back there.
Yeah.
Because my mom was there. They were setting her up for surgery. And, they put you on MPO. So she left there and come through the back. Told me, cook me some food. I cooked her food. I said, what you want, Mom? She says, I want eggs and bacon and grits. I said, okay. I did that, and after she ate it, she went out and sat on the porch. Then she looked up, there were two police cars coming down the road. She looked at them in a laugh. She said, you coming for me, and I know it. She said, but I'm full now, I'll go back. But my kids was born there.
Yeah, the first kid, Junior.
Jocelyn, too?
No, Jocelyn, she was born in Livermore. No? Okay.
Jones Walker.
Jones Walker.
Uh-huh.
I know Junior were.
Yep.
But they had a lady named Miss
Pink.
Pinkney.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to go to the child care there, and I'd be looking for Junior. She had him walking around there on her shoulder.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Helping with the medications and all of that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Jocelyn was born there. Miss Thurman and I was in there together.
Okay.
Yeah. And they did the same thing with her, because the preemies, they didn't let them stay by themselves too much, and they were preemies.
Yeah.
But every time you go there, they got them up on the shoulder.
I know Junior was.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
4 pounds, 8 ounces.
8 ounces, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we couldn't bring him home until he get 5 pounds.
That was like
2 weeks.
Yeah, two weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah. Jocelyn was 4 pounds, 8 ounces.
Mm.
Yeah.
So then you said you had some kids in Jones Walker. You had some in Lee Memorial?
No, Lee Memorial. Jones Walker.
Okay, all Jones Walker.
Yeah, but they don't say anything. Even the write-up now about the hospital, 100 years, they don't say one thing about Jones Walker Hospital.
No. Yeah.
No.
How important? I mean, it was the hospital for the community. Was that like the primary, or is that the place where you guys went, or where people went to get like primary care and stuff like that too, like with doctors and things, or was it like serious stuff only?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Anything serious, like surgery, they would take them over to Lee Memorial.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember who your doctor was, or like who your primary doctor was? Or did you guys have like a family doctor?
No.
No. Okay.
We had a child doctor, Dr. Wiley.
Dr.
Wiley. He was a child doctor. We would take him. He had a problem with
asthma,
a rash in his head.
Yeah.
And Dr. Wiley took care of him. He's still living.
As far as I know, yes.
Yeah, I know he got to be pretty close to 100.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Yeah, as far as the doctors and whatnot, I went to a doctor there and I was.
Yeah. Dr. Rumberger. Rumberger
yeah.
was one. He was yeah. downtown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Dr. What's that other one that worked with him? His son has a floor shop.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, just
the hair. One.
Oh, they're just bringing stuff
yeah,
in.
Yeah. One incident happened. My stomach was bothering me. And it was on Saturday morning, I'll never forget it. And I went to see Dr. What his name was. He was uptown up in Quillian Jones.
Yeah, Quillian
Jones. Quillian Jones. And everybody was gone but me, and I'm sitting there. Can I help you? I said, yeah. He said, I got bad stomach ache. He said, how long have it been going on? I said, just started last night. And he wrote me a prescription and handed it to me like this.
Never look back.
I took it and I carried it home. And he said, did you see find a doctor? My brother-in-law. I said, yeah, Quillian Jones. He said, no, don't take that medicine. I told him to prescription up.
Yeah.
He was known to give you some medicine to get you out of this world.
Oh, wow.
Wipe you out.
Yeah.
Huh.
And so that's what they claim. I didn't know, because I just had came here then.
Mm.
I got a prescription one time from Dr. Rumberger, and we went across the street. There was a Washburn Pharmacy, and I had it filled there, and I went home with it. Who's that? Ed told me, he says, did you show that to your doctor? I go, no. He said, that looked funny. It had a brownish color to it. I said, well, that's all right. I'll take it back to Dr. Rumberger tomorrow.
Mm.
So I took it back up there and showed it to him. He said, did you take any of this? I said, no. He said, thank God. I go, oh, dear.
He's trying to get you on.
He said, thank you. I'll take care of this. I don't know whether he said something to Washburn's or not, but I know right after that they went out of business.
Yeah.
Yeah, they kept giving you bad medicine.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that sounds really sketchy.
Yes. Don't take that.
Yeah.
So after that, you know, when you get a prescription from your doctor and you take it and get it filled, you take it back to your doctor so they can inspect it.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Salco, that's the other one that worked with Rumberg, Dr.
Oh, yeah.
Salco.
Salco. Mm.
He has a son now that runs a floor shop.
Oh, really?
He see me sometime now and he said, Giles, you spend 50 years gathering up this crap and you got to spend the next 50 throwing it away. Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
At Jones Walker and things like that, were most of the doctors black?
No, we didn't have black doctors.
Oh, okay.
They came from Lee Memorial.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
they
were
come from Lee Memorial.
Yeah.
And it was a two-wing hospital with ladies on the front wing and the men on the back wing.
Mm. Children section too.
Next to the nurse's station.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they had a little surgery room for delivery.
Yeah.
It wasn't very big.
No. Mm.
But mostly it was run by nurses.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm. So then, if the doctors came from Lee Memorial, did the doctors have any prejudice or no?
Well, they didn't act like it, no.
Yeah.
They seemed to work with you pretty good.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
When they ended up integrating the hospitals then, when did they close Jones Walker?
Oh, boy.
Jocelyn probably was about 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't take them long.
Oh, really?
She was born what year?
65.
67, 68,
yeah.
Somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
They closed.
Yeah, it didn't take them long.
Okay.
They closed it.
Huh. Mm-hmm. And, it's the same thing with clothes and everything else. It was just because it was the black one?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm. Even with all the equipment and stuff like that? Or, like, It just seems crazy to me. I'm like, this, you got a perfectly good hospital. Why
that's
close
why,
it?
Why
like,
close
that's
it?
True.
Yeah. Yep. Why close
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Jocelyn was sick. She was peritoneal, renal failure. And we went to the emergency room over at Lee Memorial. There was a young man, I said I would never forget his name, but we went in there and he waited on, he started yelling at us and carrying on and throwing stuff and going on. Yeah. Jocelyn said, Mama, what's wrong with him? I go, I don't know, but let me talk to the nurse. So I asked the nurse, what's his problem? She says, you know, normally he's a good doctor, but it's something about waiting on black people that really gets him riled. I said, good. Tell me who's the manager here. And she says, are you going to go talk to him? I said, right now. I said, we came out here for help.
Mm-hmm.
Jocelyn needs his help right now. I don't come out here to be ugly, fuss at him, or cuss at him.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want that done to us. She went right out and she told him.
Mm-hmm.
And about 10 minutes, he came back and he said, Miss Tony, he said, what you need?
Very nice.
Good. Great. What happened to the little guy that went flashing out of here, you know, that was yelling
yeah,
and carrying on?
She must have said something to him about it.
Yeah, I tell him, every black person comes in here, don't yell and curse and carry on that. We came in here for help. We need help.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he came back in there. He was so sweet and nice. And I said, oh, good grief. You know, it's just unreal how they come sometimes. I admit there's some
still,
people that act ugly sometimes, but everybody does not act like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Yep. Other than that, hey, pretty good.
Yeah. Huh. So, I mean, it was, so like if there were like no black doctors, and was there anywhere like, I know you, neither of you are doctors, but like, was there like anywhere you could go in the state to like get your, well, to go to like med school if you were black or African American?
They mostly went up to Tallahassee, Florida State, and
it was a couple of black doctors came in here.
Mm.
And what it was his name? He moved out here by the light there, Michigan. There.
Yeah. But they didn't stay.
They wouldn't let him into Lee Memorial, see?
Okay.
They wouldn't let him into the system, I think. That's the biggest problem.
Mm.
Yeah.
Huh. And then, just so I can, like, clarify, too, Jones Walker was owned by Lee Memorial.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know if, like, the city just had it separate or if it was...
No.
Yeah,
no,
okay.
They just put it out there for the black hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And,
before then, didn't they have one building that they used for a hospital?
Or down on High Street? There was one down on High Street that was supposed to have been the hospital, a two-story building.
Yes,
then when they left that two-story building, they moved over here to Jones
Walker. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was before I came.
Right.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any... I mean, with closing Dunbar High School, closing Jones Walker High School, or Jones Walker High School, Jones Walker Hospital.
Oh, yeah.
My brain, man.
That's all right. We sort of blowing your mind a little bit.
Yeah. Well, it's not blowing my mind. It's just I love, like, learning about all this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Closing Jones Walker Hospital, was there any, or, like, what was, like, the was there any community pushback to it, like,
yeah.
Keep these open?
Yeah.
But it didn't do any good because you needed to be in a hospital. You go to Jones Walker.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess I should, like, clarify my question then with, like, that. Was, like, there any kind of, like, political pushback, like, in the city council? Because I know, I mean, after later on, like, I mean, like, you got, like, Veronica Shoemaker and stuff like that coming in.
Yeah, that was before.
Before that. Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So it was just, too late by the time
that
that's right.
there was representation.
Right.
No representation at that time. For
whatever the city council said, that's what happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. School board, they did get Mr. Smith on the school board. That was the first black that went on the school board.
Mm-hmm. Horace Smith.
Horace Smith, yes.
Mm-hmm. What's the... the name again?
Horace.
Horace?
Horace, uh-huh.
Okay. Horace Smith.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And then Miss Shoemaker got on the council.
Right.
And then later on it was Brother Street, Johnny Streets, and then they just opened up then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like they got the ball rolling. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys remember, or did you guys like vote in the city council elections often then?
Yes.
Okay. If I could ask, because I don't think I've ever asked about this before, was there a lot of black participation in politics, I guess, before, like, integration and things like that? Or were people kept from the polls?
Yeah, they kept.
They went and voted. Then it was open voting.
Yeah.
We voted for everything that happened in Fort Myers.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then all of a sudden, now it's, if you're not a Democrat, you can't vote. If you're not a Republican, you can't vote. I don't know when they divided that.
Because
when we were first married, we went and voted for everybody.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We did.
So then they divided it up, and first thing they say, you can't do that because that's the law. Okay, who changed it?
Yeah. Mm.
And they were good at changing stuff and not telling you. Or they put it on paper to vote on. A lot of people didn't know what it was about.
Yeah.
They would vote for it, not knowing that they were voting for a change.
Mm-hmm.
So it got away like that.
Okay.
The district, they did this is why I think they got Johnny Streets and Sims.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how they got it, because they split up the county and into sections.
Teresa. Mm-hmm.
And they split it up into section, and then that's when they could pull some votes in, especially from the blacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in terms of, like, voting districts and stuff like that, who was, like, supposed to, like, at least on the city council, like, was there just, like, was Dunbar not really, like, in the, like, the voting in then? Or, like, how did that work?
They thought that one time they had the books out to Friendship and different churches to register peoples up. They did that one year, but they pushed us to vote.
Mm.
I remember one time I voted twice because they told me it was District 25.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to, I think it was at the, they told me it was at down here on First Street.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to First Street that was at the Knights of Columbus or some club there, just before you get to Fowler. And I voted, I went in there, and they said, yep, this is District 25. I said, okay. So I went in there, they found my name, and I went in there, and I did my voting. They said, that vote don't count. You need to go to precinct, I think it was at the Recreation Center.
Uh-huh.
And I said, okay. I went up to the Recreation Center, and I voted there, but I imagine they threw one of them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They've divided the county up now. We started voting at Dunbar High School down.
Yes, we did one time.
Okay.
And then they moved us up to the Recreation Center.
Mm.
Yeah.
And we voted there for years. Mm-hmm. And then they moved us over to
Terry Park.
Okay.
And I'm saying, you really moving us out of our district, because we live just down the street from the Recreation Center, behind Franklin Park there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when we get our car this time, we go way across Palm Beach.
Mm.
I go, what is that problem?
Yeah.
Palm Beach and Artez.
Yeah. So Marion said they done all of them like that. She said, I got to go over there too. I'm saying, I don't know. I fix them. I go downtown and vote.
Mm.
That way I eliminate trying to find a place. And I think a lot of that is because a lot of blacks voted, but they could walk up to the voting place.
Mm.
But now where they have us, a lot of them can't walk.
Yeah.
And they don't drive.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you were talking about, Hubert, you were talking about the NAACP trying to get like people out and voting and stuff like that. What were some of like the, I guess, like the big like initiatives of the NAACP in Fort Myers?
Jobs. Mm. It was trying to get people to get into these jobs and whatnot, outside of just the ditches and whatnot. One thing I found out is that here in Lee County, they don't have benefits. You have one, two, the telephone company. I don't know as any blacks have yet got on to the Florida Power and Light.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a lot of them over to, what, LECO?
Yeah, LECO.
LECO. There was a lot of blacks went over there and they had pretty good benefits. And now a lot of blacks, I know about 3-4. And they were more trying to get people that qualified for the jobs.
Mm.
And that was one of the main things they was trying to get people placed in position for the jobs and whatnot. Now you got them all over.
Yeah, another thing, Reverend, there was push for training too.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to get them in there, train them. Then they say, everybody you have working in this building did not know how this business is operated.
Mm-hmm.
You train them. Train them.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you get half trained and ugly trained.
Yeah. I remember one time that they needed some polices, and I was maybe 25, 30 years old. And it was me and about three more guys. And these guys was well recommended. They go down to get, at that time you had to pass the civil service exam.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't even get an application.
Oh, okay.
We went down to the, they said it's at the fire department. No. They sent us from that fire department to uptown. Finally, we went to the chief of police. We went there twice, and he was out playing golf one time, and next time he was in a meeting, I said, forget it.
Mm.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. That was when Daddy Santa was getting old, and
Bullsmith,
it was another one on there, Betty. It was another guy on there. Police force too, with Daddy Sanders, a tall, skinny guy. I can't think of his name.
Okay.
But Barnes was on that one time.
Yeah, Barnes.
That's who. Okay,
yeah.
Maybe that's who it was. But anyway, they were looking for some minority to join the police.
Yeah.
I never did want to be a policeman. I
in fact,
dead.
The boy that came, the man that came in there, was his father, Barnes.
Oh, okay.
His father.
It's the father of, well, I know him as Mr. Barnes over there. Okay.
His father.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know he was on the police force one while there. Yeah. Sonny Perkin. I tell you, that was the same time when Sonny Perkin got on there.
Yep.
I don't know how he got on there, how he got the application, but we went down there about 3 or 4 times trying to get just the application, not that,
application to fill out.
Yeah.
Couldn't get that.
But we never did get it.
Yeah. I remember when I spoke with Coot Farrell and he was telling me about becoming a police officer. He told me that they hadn't even, they hadn't even integrated the police academy.
No.
So when they brought him on, he didn't even go to the police academy.
Yeah.
They just, trained them in-house.
Yeah.
And they're like, there you go.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
They did.
Hmm.
They had quite a few. There was one guy came from Belgrade. What, Georgia boy?
Georgia boy,
that's
yes.
That's what they call him. I don't know what
I don't remember his name.
But he came in there too one while. They had quite a few policemen in and out.
Yeah, I think they just brought them in just so the others wouldn't feel lonely being there, because they didn't stay long.
No.
Mm-hmm. And when they patrolled, they only patrolled Dunbar.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
I think I remember.
And if they had to arrest anybody, it had to be black. They could not arrest anybody white.
Yeah.
I think they just started doing that about 2 years ago.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If they did not arrest anybody white.
Yeah.
Okay, so then, well, the last thing that's on my mind, it might be the last thing, unless I come up with other things.
Okay.
I want to know a little bit about Reverend Edwards. I know he's still alive today, and I'm trying to get, like, I plan on at least hopefully I'll talk to him.
Yeah.
But who was Reverend Edwards?
He was a minister that we call out of Jacksonville.
Okay.
He came out of Jacksonville, and he came into Fort Myers, and he was up, you know, on literally everything, really. When he got here, he wanted to learn about this and that, and he was a darn good minister.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I was ordained, when he was here.
Mm-hmm.
And he just didn't back down.
Mm-hmm.
As, you know, he kept pushing.
Even got a little training session there at the church. You know,
yeah.
If you didn't know, or if you were going to school, yeah, your parents are going back to school.
Mm.
Yeah, they did it at Friendship.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
He pushed me, Miss Golan, Miss Woodbury. There was a lot of us there.
Yeah.
Pushed us to go back to school. My mind was set on getting a diploma.
Mm.
And so I went to night school, and boy, I tell you, that was a rough, rough, rough go, trying to work in the daytime and go to school at night.
Yeah.
And but I stayed with it and finished it.
Mm.
Yeah. I got out to Edison, and it just, but not only that, I was over the Little League for 20-something years or better. And then I turned around, and they kept pushing me to get the Scouts, Boy Scouts. And I got into Boy Scouts, and I did Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I took the Boy Scouts at the church, and we did different things. And I tell you, it was rough on me then. And I said, I couldn't go to school and try to do all of this.
Well, I'll tell you what, I know they really appreciated it because, I don't know his last name, but you know Jarrett, who works over
yes,
here, right?
Jarrett. Yeah.
Jarrett was telling me that you were his scout leader, the Boy Scouts.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
When he saw I was interviewing you, he was looking at the list and he's like, oh, that was my scout leader when I was growing up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I had them, and there's a lot of guys that come up to me now and say, Mr. Chilton, how you doing? You still got that little red truck? I said, no, I had a little red truck.
Yeah, a red Ford with the wood body.
Yeah.
And anytime you saw that truck, it was loaded with children. Oh, my goodness. They can be home. No, I don't want to ride with Mom. I want to get on the truck with the rest of the children. Oh, they didn't want them to get rid of it, but I told them, I said, this thing leaking. We got to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Yep. Do you remember with like Boy Scouts and stuff like that, where did you guys go camping around here?
We had two places. Fort Myers had, chapter had two places. One in Camp Miles, they call it.
Okay.
Sanders, Dr. Sanders, had 60 acres up there.
Mm.
That we roam running the snakes and running all of the wild animals off. But we had fun.
Mm.
We had fun. They built, got different companies to build different stuff up there. The swimming pool, the
cabins
and stuff like that. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
But the cabins were strictly to go and eat and go to the restroom and bathe. They made them stay out the door in a tent.
Yeah, that's what scouts did.
Yeah.
Go in no house and camp. That's what camp scout is out there in them snakes.
Mm-hmm. So did the Boy Scouts play like an important role for a lot of the kids growing up then?
Yes, they did. The problem were the parents didn't get behind them at that point and make them study. And but when you mention coming into a meeting, yeah, the parents would drag them out there every now and then. And that was the biggest problem. And the next biggest problem I had is getting the parents to go with me out there with them. They fussed at me about coming out there. He said, "Mr. Tony, you know you're supposed to have two or three adults with you." I said, "Yeah." They promised me they're going to come, and when the time comes, they back out. But we had two. We had one in Camp Miles, and we had one in Bradenton.
Oh, okay.
Up in Bradenton.
Oh, that's a drive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we kept busy every time a meeting or something. And the one that I really missed around there, I went by myself with five Cub Scouts this time. And they wanted to improve this camp near Immokalee. And we went out up there one night. It was in the dark when we left here. The guy was going to come with me, and he never showed up. I took him, and we went out there, and we started roaming Saturday morning. We saw bear tracks out there big as my fist. I had a hatchet, that's all. I said, my kid told me Saturday morning. Yeah, we met that Friday night. He told me Saturday morning. He said, "Mr. Tony, something touched our tent last night, and it was big, too." And I said, "Well, he didn't bother you, you didn't bother him. But sure enough, Saturday night, he told mine." Mm-hmm. I woke up, and I rich and got the hatchet. That's the only thing I had. And I said, "Now, wait a minute. What is that?" But we done saw, I done saw them bear tracks and whatnot, but I ain't looking for food.
Yeah.
They didn't bother us, and we didn't bother them. Mm. But yes, there's quite a few of them know me, and they done grew up now, and I don't. One kid came in the store the other day, and he said, "Mr. Tony." And he started talking about God and what he wanted, and it was Bird. Mm-hmm. And that's who he said, "Mr. Tony, you remember me?" I said, "Yeah, I remember you." I didn't, but Terry told me Bird.
And,
but they know me.
All right, well, the interview's gone on for over an hour now.
Okay.
And I think I'm going to cut it off here.
Okay.
Thank you guys so much for talking with me.
Well, okay. Now you got to put it together in order.
Oh, yeah. Now we get to go through the whole process of...
Yes.
It'll be me at my computer at home just typing this up.
Okay.
I totally... Oh, what is it? I don't remember what it is, but I think it's like... It takes about... an hour for every 10 minutes or something like that. So, yeah. I'm going to cut it off. The people back up in Gainesville, they're going to hear me complaining about that.
Yeah.